Act, Chapter 27. And when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to a centurion named Julius of the Augustan band. And embarking in a ship of Adramyttium, which was about to sail to some places on the coast of Asia, we put to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, also came with us, and the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly, and permitted him to visit his friends and refresh himself. Then putting to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed across open water, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. From there the centurion found a ship from Alexandria sailing for Italy, and he put us on it. And after many days of slow sailing, because of the wind being contrary, we had just managed to come near Critias, and then we sailed under the lee of Crete, near Salmon. Then, with difficulty, we sailed along the coast and came to a certain place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lassia. Now, since a lot of time had gone by, and it was already becoming a dangerous voyage because the fast had already passed, Paul earnestly advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will result in damage and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the captain and the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, most advised to put to sea from there, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, which is a harbor of Crete, facing northeast and southeast, and winter there. So when the south wind blew gently, they supposed they had obtained their purpose, and they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close into shore. But after a short time, a stormy wind called Euroclydon hit us, and it seized the ship with such force that it couldn't tack into the wind, so we gave up and were driven before it. And running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were able to secure the skiff with difficulty. And after they had hoisted it up, they used ropes, tying them underneath and around the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the Syrtis, a shallow sandy area, they took down the rigging, and so were driven before the wind. And being vehemently tossed about by the storm, the next day they began to throw some of the cargo overboard. Then on the third day we threw out the ship's tackle with our own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm pressed upon us, all hope that we would be saved was taken away. And when they had been a long time without food, Paul then stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete, consequently suffering this injury and loss. And now I exhort you to cheer up, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I also serve, stood beside me this night, saying, 'Don't be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And look, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, men, cheer up, for I believe God that it will happen exactly as it has been spoken to me. But we will be shipwrecked on a certain island.' But when the 14th night had come, as we were carried about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. So they made a sounding for depth, and found it to be 40 meters. Then after a short time they sounded again, and found it to be 30 meters. And fearing that we might be thrown ashore onto rocks, they put out 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. And as some of the sailors were seeking to flee from the ship, and had lowered the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless these stay in the ship, you will not be able to be saved.' Then the soldiers cut through the ropes of the boat and let it fall. And since daylight was coming, Paul appealed to them to all eat some food, saying, 'This is the 14th day that you have been fearful and fasted, eating nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to eat some food, for your deliverance is at hand, and not even a hair from your head will be lost. And having said this, and picking up some bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of everyone, broke it, and began to eat. Then they all felt encouraged, and ate some food also. And the total number of those in the ship was 276. And when they had eaten and were satisfied, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. And when it was daylight, they didn't recognize the land, but they saw a certain bay with a beach. And they discussed among themselves if they could drive the ship up on it. So casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea. At the same time, they untied the rudders, hoisted up the foresail to the wind, and headed for the beach. But the vessel ran aground, striking a shallow place where two seas met. And the prow struck and remained unmovable, but the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them could swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, restrained them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim would throw themselves overboard and get to land first. Then the rest would come on planks and on other things from the ship, and it happened that they all escaped safely to land. This is the end of Acts chapter 27. The Father's Life New Testament Version was translated and produced by A Grain of Wheat Ministries, not by the reader, Wayne O'Connor. We hope you enjoyed this segment of the Father's Life New Testament Version. The Father's Life New Testament Version, in its entirety, is available for free at www.agrainofwheat.com. Request your copy today.